Previously on Quest Laid Plans.
They came from all over, the Glorious Eight. They came without knowing they'd do something great.
This is a very accurate recap, wow.
How are you doing? How have the last 10 years been?
It's wild when you just put it out there. 10 whole years, my goodness.
When did Windswift get so badass?
I've made a huge mistake.
In order to evacuate everybody, it's kind of a rough situation right now.
We are the rough situation. Hi.
Everybody else was getting better and Porla was getting worse.
Study death, ? Sad shit, ? Big frog, ?
The death and rebirth of a world is a free-for-all for the gods, and the winner takes it all. But no one has lost more times than me, and I'm still here, waiting.
Maybe Porla's just sort of developed passing interest in prehistoric history. That would be cool.
Since when have we all told each other everything?
It's not easy to lose someone and you never get over it and it hurts forever, all right? But we all have to go on living.
Maybe not all of us, Brax.
Is this where you give us, like, your big villain speech?
You think I'm a villain?
Your grief has made you so cruel. Porla, Chiron would not even recognize you. If you bring her back, she would not see an ounce of who she knew.
You made all the wrong choices.
I can't come back, but you cannot let Chorus get the egg.
Egg?
Egg!
Egg.
Evelyn, listen to me. It's working, somehow. I have the super aura of life. God, I wish I gave it a cooler name.
She's just been going through what seems to be a decade of gay grief.
Oh, no.
And now we're here.
It hasn't been a great 10 years.
We never got to talk about it, and I sort of feel like that might be what's going on here.
Well, it's not like you ghosted—
I kind of actually did ghost her more than anyone has ever ghosted anyone.
You stupid girl. You knew how this was supposed to work. You had to come willingly, and you didn't, and this is what happened. Look at me!
I guess we gotta kill the dinosaur first. Right, Porla? We can fucking do that. Together.
Welcome to Quest Laid Plans, the podcast that asks the question, can an old party learn new tricks? I am your Dungeon Master, Megan Kelleher, and with me are five incredible D&D players that I feel very fortunate to DM.
Oh, well. Hi, I'm Maya S. Ming, and I play Windswept Palm, Air Genasi, Gnome, Rune Knight Fighter, and I don't feel like an imposter in this group.
I'm Phil Arevalo. I play Kit Marpala, Water Genasi Monk. And it has been so much fun with you all. And let's finish this.
Hi, I'm Jesse B. Kohler. And I am a very, very lucky boy who's feeling golden because of all of you.
Aww. So cute.
Esther Mithian Sorcerer.
It's getting too much. It's getting too much.
I'm Jamie Hathaway, playing Aveline Yavri Skywatcher, your wildfire druid, burning up with love.
Hi, I'm Natamari Vautava, and I play your halfling wizard rogue, Naraya Windsworn, and I'm unironically hashtag grateful to be here. Like, actually.
All right, and without further ado, the finale. Okay, Aveline.
Okay, I'm going to cast a second level healing spirit. I call forth a nature spirit to soothe the wounded, and I think that it takes the form of a giant bunny rabbit. thinking about Chiron and everything, but it's like transparent and kind of fiery. So until the spell ends, whenever you or a creature you can see moves into the spirit's space for the first time on a turn or starts its turn there, you cause the spirit to restore 1d6 hit points to that creature. I throw it up close to Naraya and Esther, and then I take my movement and go and enter its space, so I also heal myself.
Massive brain.
Nice.
Enter the bunny.
Tell me, I add a d8 to the healing from my healing spells. Does that count for this as well? Because it's a spell and it's doing healing.
Sure.
Cool. Bring myself back up with a big 6 hit points.
Hey, it's something.
Not nothing.
It truly is something. I was down to 3, so now I'm up to 9, which is... That's bigger.
Better than 3.
Better.
Yeah, better than 3.
Almost double digits.
So that's a bonus action. I've used my movement. So Quarius has gone back down into the other hole.
Right.
The one that's like more north than the one that Naraya and Esther are standing next to.
Yes.
I guess I'm not within melee range of her then. So yeah, that's my action. I throw up this healing spirit. It can heal 6 times in total, so it's healed me, and then it has like 5 more like healing pulses that it can give out. So Naraya and Esther will both get a d6 plus a d8 of heal when they start their turn next to my transparent fiery bunny.
All right, it is Porla's turn again. She is once again going to do her super aura of life and bring the two of you back, Esther and Naraya.
So close.
You're just going to get 5 temp hit points plus 1 regular hit point as you come back out of the ethereal plane.
Did we get any cool gossip this time?
You did, but you kind of had to be there. It's hard to explain.
I was there, though.
No, you were there, but to explain it to others, it's, you know.
Okay, valid.
Sorry, listener.
We have secrets with friends now. And
I
with
to be on the ethereal plane.
Secrets of the dead. Had to be there. Naraya, you're up and it's your turn.
Amazing. I get healing
1d6
from...
plus 1d8 from the bunny, the healing bunny.
Do you want to roll that for me? It's your healing.
Oh, hell yeah. That's 12 hit points from the bunny.
Yay.
Wow.
Like real hit points.
Real
God.
Full hit points.
I
rolled a 7 on the d8.
I have so many hit points now.
And a 5 on the d6, so...
So... She's gone again. Oh, God. I mean, we can't do anything up here when she's... Yeah, fine. I am going to... I'm going to look up at Esther, who knows some things that only we know now. I'm going to say
a haunted look in his eyes.
I know something you will never know.
I, like, just nod. I'm going to... say, all right, well, you boys are doing egg? Can I do egg? I'm doing egg. Then I'm gonna look inside the hole and Misty step in there.
Okay, the hole that Kit just went down or the hit that Quarius just... The hole that Quarius just went down.
Whichever one is closer to me. I'm guessing they're gonna meet in the middle anyway, so... The one where Kit is.
Okay.
So I'm gonna Misty step 30 feet into it, and once I've Misty stepped, I'm gonna just... take my 25 feet of movement farther in.
Okay, great. You make it. You eventually run into Kit, and you, who is looking through the cracks in this otherwise relatively...
Hi, Kit, we're doing egg.
Yeah, good. I was afraid I'd be here alone. Look in there.
Do I see anything when I, like, look in the cracks?
Yeah, you see a blinding light that is sort of golden and pink, and it appears, as your eyes adjust to it, to be emanating from almost like an unbelievably small point floating in the center of what looks like a larger chamber.
Kit, we gotta get inside. We gotta get to this tiny little shiny egg, I think.
Yeah, I think we gotta get in there. We either need to do something with that egg, or... Quarius is probably coming, so gotta stop it.
And Megan, I still have not taken my action, so I'm gonna just pull out my great axe, and I'm just gonna start trying to chip away at the cracks.
All right. I will say, I'm debating whether I want it to be an attack roll or like a strength. I think I will do an attack roll because it's your great axe. So yeah, roll attack.
I am not proficient in my great axe, but I have it because of reasons, so that's just plus my strength, right?
Right.
Yes.
That's fine. So it's a plus zero. 19, though.
Okay, yeah, you manage to just summon as much might as you possibly can with this axe that you feel a little clumsy with. And as you make contact with this rock, you feel it sort of start to wiggle and give way and plop out the other side. And as a result, a bunch of rocks that were on top of it fall, and you are pretty much okay because they're smaller rocks.
Ow.
And you've basically got, if you can clear it out, you have a little bit of a window through now.
I didn't know you could.
Help me out.
Yeah, I can do that.
You didn't roll damage, I realize, but like, whatever, it's fine.
I personally just start like chipping away, like demolition, trying to just make enough room for, I mean, I'm tiny, but if my friends are coming, it might need to be bigger.
And I think Kit is kind of astounded because he just saw Nariah take out this huge great axe and just wail at this wall.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I just have this.
Okay. I didn't know that you had that. You know what? You did it. That was great. Let's get through here.
All right. Esther, it's your turn.
Okay. Jamie, could you send some heal points my way?
Yes. That is 12 HP for Esther.
Hell yeah.
Amazing. God bless you.
Esther puts a hand on Aveline's shoulder. It's like, I know it's only been like 3 minutes since hell broke loose, but it feels like it's been like 2 days since I've seen you. And it's just nice to see you. Hey.
I hug Esther.
Aww.
Okay, I'm gonna go into this hole now. yeah, and I think I'm going to, also misty step downwards.
All right, into the same hole?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, at the bottom, you find Kit and you find Nariah with a giant great axe who is chopping her way through this wall of rubble, and you're starting to see larger rays of light coming through the cracks as the cracks grow into larger windows.
Okay, I can still do a cantrip, right?
Yeah.
Great, so I think I'm going to do Shocking Grasp on the rubble.
Ooh,
okay.
So it is a hit, so I do have to roll to see if I hit. Do I just do damage?
Yeah, roll, attack roll.
Wow, such a bad roll. 11?
I'll say that I guess I don't have like a super specific AC in mind for like a pile of rubble. I'll say just that you managed to clear off a little bit more, and now the hole is the size that you could get through and not just Nariah, who's very small.
Okay. I just checked that I have advantage on the attack if the target is wearing, is wearing armor made of metal. Sorry, I thought it said it's not wearing
armor.
Yeah,
actually this rock has some really nice jewelry.
Beautiful. fancy rock. Okay, can I... We're not rolling damage for it, right?
Right, yeah. I'm just going to go ahead and say that. Is that your turn?
That's my turn.
Oh, okay, great. At this point, who's still up? It's Porla and Windswept, or and Aveline?
Yeah, I'm still at the top.
We're still up top? Okay.
And Addie. She's up there, too.
And Addie. Oh, and let's not ever forget
I lose
Addie.
Those 10 hit points, right? Because I've moved out.
Right.
At this point, what I need is...
I need a hero. Holding up for a hero at the end of this fight.
And it's just a montage of us
they've
breaking the rocks.
And they've got to get
it's
this
Shrek
egg.
2. It's the like final sequence of Shrek 2.
But it's just one shot of us breaking the rocks.
Multiple angles of you guys breaking.
Exactly.
Also, for the record, in case like a Reddit hater decides to get in my case, I do not know why I have a great axe in my inventory, but I have it. And I'm using it.
Jeez, Netta, come on. That's just so out of character.
Yeah, it's so OP that I have I think it's Teffin's. I think for some reason it's Teffin's, but I don't remember why I have it. It's fine. I have not used it against our dragon dinosaur friend, so
okay,
fine about it.
Those of you who are underground, so that would be Esther, Kit, and Nariah, you see through your now like relatively sizable door that you've made in this rubble ball. You can see to the other side of the room, which is it's so bright that it's really hard to make anything out other than the fact that the origin of the light seems to be kind of just a point in the center of the room. Although you start seeing shadows move across this field of light and you realize that Quaris is entering this chamber, and as she turns her large beaked head to see you, you hear the god voice in your head once more. And all of you, even those up above ground, hear her say,
get out of my way. I would think you, of all people, little creatures, would understand. I'm making things better for us. Well, not you specifically, but...
You couldn't even get through that. That wasn't even... You tried to be a good guy, and you just know you're bad.
You're saying this to her, and she can... As much as you can tell that, like, kind of a blackened, falling apart, crumbling, gigantic kaiju dinosaur skeleton is angry, you can kind of see that you're pissing her the fuck off, and she pecks at you, Esther. And I think she misses. Does a 13 hit you?
She does miss.
Oh.
She does miss. Winsip.
Okay, so Winsip is, I believe, next to a hole that the same hole that Chorus went into.
Mm-hmm.
So it stands to reason that if Winsip were to go into that hole, she would end up behind Chorus.
Right.
Okay.
It's like a McDonald's play place. A system of horrible tubes.
Is it like... Does it seem like a very steep fall, or does it curve pretty quickly?
I think that if you were to, it's deep enough that if you were to just jump in without any sort of like mitigating magic or abilities, that you would take damage.
Okay, all right. So, yeah, I think she's just gonna dive in, but she's going to use her feather fall on this so that she does not take damage. So she kind of floats down and is going to just, whenever her feet touches level ground, she's going to use her movement to hopefully catch up to the back of the bird.
All right, yeah, you float very daintily down through this hole. And as you land, you see at the end of the tunnel, you do see a light at the end of the tunnel, but you also see the sort of back end of Quaris with her shattered two ankles that you single-handedly broke. And you see that obscuring this wall of insane golden pink light.
Right, so she's gonna run up and take two attacks on that tailbone there.
Right in the coccyx.
She's just like, you think you can get away from me? Okay, so once again, the first attack is a 18.
That'll hit.
Nice. And then second attack, 24.
That will also hit.
Yes.
Once again, Booming Blade, which is a cantrip, by the way. I don't know if I ever said that, so it's anytime she attacks, melee. And yeah, damage time.
Yeah.
First one is 8, and the second one is much better. Yes, that's a 6 on the d6. 18. Second one is 18, first one is 8, so that is 26 bludgeoning damage to... Right in the back of the tailbone.
Okay. One second.
How we doing?
The way we are doing is you make contact with the tailbone of this skeleton, and you see a rift form in her spine, and it cracks all the way up until she crumbles into a pile of bones.
Oh my God.
And I think this is a good point to take a break.
Oh. It is. Oh.
We did it.
That actually just happened. Jeez Louise.
Hey, Questies, it's me, Megan. Happy finale. Oh my God, thank you so much for being here. I don't even know how to like express in words how excited and happy I am to be sharing the final episode of this season with you guys. I'm so exhausted from just working my ass off to get the episode done and make it excellent for you guys. So I really hope you like it. If you do like it, please tell a friend, because there's nothing like, hey, this whole entire season is out. You don't even have to wait for any more episodes in this season to get someone on board, right? So just, you know, tell one friend. And if you all tell one friend, who knows what will happen? Not me, because I shot my math wad on calculating HP of Quaris. Speaking of Quaris, if you want to add my beautiful dinosaur wife or anybody like her to your game, we are going to be adding her stat block, as well as some amazing other stuff, such as the rules, the official rule set For the Last 10 Years game, and much more, interviews with the cast, notebook, sneak peeks, things like that that were spoilers, but now they're not spoilers because you know all the spoilers. That's all going up on our Patreon. Thank you so much to our existing patrons, and if you would like to join the ranks of those wonderful people, that is patreon.com/questlaidplans. You may think, gosh, season one is over, they don't need patrons anymore, but you would be wrong. We need them now more than ever, and now you're going to get even more cool stuff, so it's a great time to join. And you can also join us on our Discord at bit.ly/questlaiddiscord or questlaidplans.com/discord. I have completely lost my ability to form coherent words at this point, but I do want to thank producer Netta and my consulting DM Nikki and our amazing artist Pami one more time, and Jules for letting us use her music back in episodes 4 or 5, I think. Anyway, yeah, I'm exhausted and happy and proud, and I really, really hope you guys enjoy this. Thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of the season.
Hello. I need to do some light math for a second, and then I'm ready to jump back in.
Light math.
Crash got to Megan just doing some, like, AP calculus just for funsies.
It's like the meme of, like, all the things, like, flying around from my face, you know?
Yeah, it's not even, like, D&D math. She just, like, needs to, like, reset her brain real quick.
Just do some differentials for funsies.
I had a moment in the very beginning of the pandemic, like, early March 2020, when I was like, I was never good at math. Maybe now is the time. And I spent like 3 weeks doing math.
God. That's...
Yeah, I was not doing well.
Man, that's a pandemic hobby choice right there.
Oof. Yeah, it didn't last long.
I really liked math out of context. Like, just purely, like, these are the exercises you have to do for homework. It was, like, applied math that always made me insane.
I just, when I see numbers, my brain stops working.
That's what you do, Phil, right? The
yeah.
Letters that I hate?
Oh, no. Well, no. I do the math that you hate, but I enjoy them. So, like, I was going
so
to
be... So it's fun
pure...
for you, so it's good. Yeah.
Yes. I was going to be a pure math major, but then it was, like, the people who major in pure math are fucking scary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where we left off is that Windswip whacked. No, that's not cool enough for what this is. Windswip slammed her hammer down into the tailbone of Quaris, the skeletal Quetzalcoatlus dinosaur monster, and a fissure formed in her coccyx that traveled all the way up through her vertebrae and her forelimbs and her skull until she crumbled into a pile of powder and small chunks of bone. And for a moment, it is silent, and all you can see are hazy particles of bone floating through the golden and pink light. And then you hear a deafening boom. The pile of bones explodes outward, blowing the ceiling off the temple. And I need everybody to make a save, and it's going to be...
I knew it wasn't that easy.
I mean, this is something. We're making progress.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Just before the boom happens, you just hear like a, woo!
and yeah, Winslow is just holding on like two hands on the warhammer, just like...
Okay, I need everybody to give me a wisdom saving throw.
Wisdom save!
Interesting.
The one thing
everyone's
good
excited
at.
About this. Megan, is this a magical effect that is happening?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That means
Megan, 23. Advantage.
I see you're 23, and I raise you a 25.
Nice.
I get to roll with advantage on these, and I thank God, because first one was a 5, and the second one was a nat 20.
Woo!
Yes. There it is.
For a total of 20.
I also roll with advantage on wisdom saves, and my lower roll was also a 5.
Hey.
Aww.
Did everyone succeed?
What was the DC?
17.
I got a 14.
Okay.
I see your 14 and raise you a 4.
Oh.
Jesse, no.
Egg boys down.
Not the egg boys.
Damn. Egg boys. Egg boys. The Kitswip shippers are very mad at the Egg Boys, I think.
Okay, all right. We were all thinking it, but no one had to say it.
I'm just here to speak truth into the archive of our own folks.
Truth to power.
Listen, Kitsta, aka Egg Boys, get on that fan art.
Lest we forget, Kit has a wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, no shit.
Kit does have a wife.
He does have a wife. It's fine. She's far away. She doesn't need to know. Nobody needs to know.
Nobody needs to know.
We don't know what their arrangement is. Maybe they swing on the volcano.
Okay. Yeah, you can. You can't. You can't swing on the volcano. That was established.
So. God.
Okay. Six. It's honestly really small. It's 6 psychic damage if you failed.
Did fail.
Okay. And like 3 if you succeeded.
Oh, wow. Damage that doesn't drop me.
Regardless of whether you saved or failed, you feel the golden and pink light take over your vision until you feel like you're inside of it and you squint your eyes closed because it's so bright. And when you open them, you're in a room that is luckily pleasantly lit at a pleasant level and no longer scorching your eyes. You see spots for a minute because it was so bright. And when those clear, you see at the center of this room, which suddenly has no roof or ceiling. And Aveline, you were the only one who was out of the basement, right?
Yeah, I'm not. I didn't get down into the hole.
Right. So what happened for you was you felt the floor underneath you explode upwards. And when you came to, you, Porla, and all the others who were in the basement are sitting on the ground in a circle around Porla at the center, who is sitting with her legs crossed on the ground. Her hands are in her lap, and in her hands are an egg. It is the size of an egg. It is incredibly small considering what one would assume it must have presumably come out of, or at least now you're thinking maybe it didn't come out of Quaris. But it is just an egg. And you see Porla's hands are clasped tightly around it, and you can see through them because the light is so bright. You can see all of her veins.
Nice. Nice, Megan.
And you see her eyes are also glowing with this light. It's just she's, and you can see that she's crying.
Porla, what was the deal that you made?
I was supposed to be able, well, I guess let me start at the beginning. When I was at my graduate program at Lasker University, I was studying death and grief and all of the various ways that we respond to it in history. I guess I thought if I studied it, I didn't have to deal with my own. But I discovered texts on necromancy, and I thought it was just kind of horseshit, to be honest. It wasn't any magic that I had ever encountered, and it turns out it was very real, and I didn't know what I was doing, but I opened a window to the ethereal plane, and that's what Quaris needed. The ethereal plane sort of rests between the material and the astral, and so Quaris can kind of make an escape attempt from her, and but also I need somebody, and it ended up being me, needed to open a door on our end as well. And I didn't have any idea what if I was going to see anything on the other side, and I was met by this. I mean, she was a beautiful goddess, and she told me that her people, much like ours, had once been killed in a horrible extinction event billions of years ago, trillions, and she was angry. And I understood because I felt like, well, what she said to me was, I lost my entire world and I never got to bring it back. And I felt the same. And she told me that if I could help her have a chance to bring her world back, that she would keep my people safe and bring back the people who I had lost, and that everything would be okay. But I was stupid. She had me like inside of her, which was fucking nasty, by the way. I couldn't breathe or see. I just felt like her. I felt like I was her, and I felt the things she was feeling. She wants to be the only god. She hates the Pention. She hates our gods because she thinks that they're not deserving of the power that they have, that she's been waiting the longest, that her time in the astral plane, biding her time and not getting a chance to be a god in the material plane, outranks theirs. And what she wanted was to use me as a vessel of life so she could basically wipe the slate clean and start a new world of her own with none of us in it.
Fucked up. She must have been really, really hot for you to, like, believe that she would help you.
You know, yes, she was, but truthfully, I felt her anger and her sadness. Look, I wish I could say that I was, like, possessed by her or controlled by her, or she somehow had a hold on me. And maybe she did, but I really think most of it was just me. And I... How did you all do it? I really thought that I was suffering the most. And maybe I wasn't. Maybe I was feeling the same amount of pain that all of you were, but how come I was the one who couldn't carry it?
I can't speak for everyone else, but...
Well, it's been an interesting decade.
A real, like, up, down, up kind of arc.
I didn't take a straight road to accepting that and fixing things and getting better.
Needing to process a lot of, like, grief and guilt.
Some really, really tough times.
I blame myself for, like, everything.
And being in, like, a pretty deep depression.
In the last 10 years, I burned myself and everything that I had been taught for 16 years to be.
There is so much more to life than I ever would have thought of when we were just adventuring all the time.
Like, I did my duty, but, like, maybe friendship is more important than this.
The importance of really feeling connected to the place that you are and what is happening, like, in any given moment.
And I reconnect with people I was, like, running away from.
And then I started building myself up again in ways that I hadn't conceived of before.
But those lost parts of me, well, they've regrown in new ways that I didn't expect.
Relearned who I am and how I can exist. And I think it's a work in progress.
Not healed, but in the process of healing.
I think overall it's been okay.
I certainly didn't carry it alone, where I was. And I couldn't have done it by myself. I couldn't have done it without everyone at the monastery. I couldn't have done it without you. You wrote to me that first year after. You're the only one who did. None of us, I think, could have done it by ourselves. And I don't think you should have expected yourself to be able to do that.
Yeah.
I've been keeping tabs on all of you.
Of course you have.
I've been...
What?
Okay.
Well,
elaborate?
Yeah, wait, what?
I am trying. I've been keeping tabs on all of you. You were all the most important people in my life. And I had to go back home to handle family shit and all of that. And I just needed to know what the most important people in my life we're up to all this time. And I've just been following you. So I know I'm just starting to say that without even reaching out to any of you, recently for the last couple of years, I still think about all of you all the time.
Now I really wish that I had done more to reach out to any of you. But the truth was, I didn't feel worthy enough to do that. I felt like my time in the sun had passed, and that I was washed up, and then I had to move on, and I just had to. And I felt that the only place left for me that would accept me and
value me was my own home, my family, my little gnome community, and, you know, eventually, you know, my mother, and how we got to bond in ways that we never had before. And I thought, well, this is the best I've got, this is the best I can do, and this is the most that anyone will remember me for. And now I see I shouldn't have thought so poorly of any of you, that you would think that way about me. And I wish I had... I wish I had the bravery to tell you the same thing that you just told us, Esther, which is that you guys meant the most to me. All of you. And I'm so, as fucked up as all this is, I've been so, part of me has been so awfully happy these past few days, or this day, I don't even know, time is, makes no sense. Because, I mean, I'm not gonna say it's been the same, but it's kind of delightful to get to know you and how you've changed. And I wish it didn't take this awful dinosaur monster from ancient times for us to connect again. Maybe we can do better now.
Yeah, all due respect, I think I'm sure your gnomish community is lovely. Aside from summoning an ancient god from hell, thinking you're not good enough for us is probably the worst take I've heard all day.
Well,
you just killed that thing.
Yeah,
you, like, that was you. That was you.
You did it.
Like, the rest of us were, I mean, all of us did nice things.
Yeah, we're not gonna do the comparison game, okay?
Yeah, no, we're not. But you very much powdered this, again, ancient dinosaur god from hell. So that has to mean something.
It does. And it was just because I had done so little in the final battle, and then when it was all over, it just, I felt like my purpose had been fulfilled already, and didn't know what else.
I mean,
there was.
What I'm hearing here is, and what I've been hearing, you know, past couple of days is, all of us feel like none of us did enough when we had to do something, and not gonna say I didn't feel the same way, because I didn't do shit, but as cruel as it might sound, that was ages ago, and this world that we have is still here, which means that all of us did enough in the long run. And I'm not saying that to, like, minimize our losses, because we're all clearly fucked up and it's fine that we're grieving, but we have a world to grieve in, and that's, you know, maybe that's something to think about next time we're by ourselves and contemplating.
Because, you know, you guys are all sitting here saying that you've been feeling like you didn't do enough, but without, you know, with Windswip, if you hadn't been there, would we have killed the Dreadnought? No. Kit, if you hadn't been there, would we have killed the Dreadnought? No. It took all of us. We all had to be there. We all had to, we had to take out the little things or erupt the earth, and Chiron had to make her sacrifice. And if we had been one person less, if we had done an iota less than what we did, we wouldn't have won. And maybe we would have lost so much more than just Chiron.
We could be angry skeleton people just mad that we lost our entire world.
Porla, I think that, I know you've said as much that it weighed so heavily on you that you couldn't save her. But you did so much else. so much else that we needed to do. And you know that we live in a world that's not perfect. Chiron isn't here, and that's awful, and we lost her. But the longer striving for that kind of perfection, striving and gripping and grasping at it is, it's a fool's errand. You have a lot here, and it can prevent you from seeing what you do have, who you have, what you still love, how to feel, how to be present in every moment. And that took the last 10 years for me to get around to. So I hope that you can get there too.
I know it's, Pearl, I know it's, can be frustrating, and it, you can find yourself very mad and bitter when people tell you that you need to accept their help and, you know, let yourself be helped. It's the only way out of this. And I guess, and I give Esther a look because he's clearly been following us. I would have been dead years ago if I didn't listen to some very nice people who told me that I don't need to let, you know, regret and grief and all of that consume me. It's not been, you know, not all of us have just meditated and made scrapbooks about Chiron and moved on. It's not been easy. It's just...
The only way out is through.
There you go.
You gotta jump in the hole.
Yeah. Also, all of this is very moving. What are we doing about the egg?
And also Brex. Another
also, one of our don't mean to be mean, but Brex is fucking dead.
Yeah, Paula, no, you are.
It's no. Listen, I
like you very much did that. We're very kind right now because we're vulnerable because we killed a thing, but that happened like an hour ago.
We got a weird glowing egg, I know. And our friend is dead. So
just hang on.
What do we do about the egg?
I know what to do. It's pretty much the only thing I know what to do. And after that, I don't know what the next steps are. But follow me. And she stands with the egg in her palms. And she kind of walks up the tunnel, which I'm assuming is... There's a path of rubble up to the ground level that y'all can climb.
And convenient staircase of rubble.
Convenient staircase of rubble, exactly. And
I use my 50 feet of hemp rope to fashion a ladder for us to climb out of the hole.
Do any of us have a Dungeoneer pack that has a ladder? My God.
Holding the egg tightly in her hands, which you can kind of start to see her body absorbing that light and glowing red and veiny up her arms, traveling up to her shoulders. You all make a slow walk back to where Brex is lying in the field. And every so often, Porla stumbles or winces in pain. But she keeps going until you all reach Brex. And she kneels down and she says, I don't know what comes after this. But it was nice to see you guys.
Porla?
And
wait.
And she takes her hand, her palms, and she...
Hold on. If you're about to do some weird magic where he has to, like, be glued to you for the rest of for the rest of his life, we gotta talk about that, because I'm not sure if they'd be into that.
Nope. Don't worry. It's all good.
I think she's leaving.
She takes the egg, and she sort of presses it into Brex's abdomen, and you see the light transfer from her into Brex's body, which had been sort of gray and lifeless, and you see it light up, and you hear Brex go,
what?
And Porla is gone. Physically, like, there's no trace of her.
Like, she just vanishes?
She's gone. She vanishes.
I had a feeling that was happening. Hey, Brex. Welcome
back.
Hey,
Brex.
What the fuck happened to all of you?
Same old, same old.
Yeah.
Winswip killed a dinosaur.
That is new. Yeah, that was new. That was new for me.
How do you...
And I reach out and just, like, pad their abs a little.
Is the light still there, or does it just kind of, like, meld into their body?
It melded into their body and sort of gave them some color and sealed up some wounds that had been left over from the inflict wounds that took them out.
I don't know about you all, but I could really use a group hug right now.
I'm like already hugging Winswip.
I missed you.
You guys all get into a lovely, wonderful group hug.
Get in here, Esther.
Yeah, Esther like jumps.
We're gonna talk about your mass surveillance problem.
It's just dogging.
The way you say that, one thing at a time. One thing at a time.
I think I also like press my like head into Brex's like shoulder while I'm hugging them, and then I inhale and I go, oh god, Brex, we have to get you a new coat, okay? You came back from the dead, we have to get you a new coat.
A resurrection coat?
Resurrection coat.
We'll talk about it.
In the center of the hug, I do like a little prestidigitation to smell nice.
Oh god.
It's a nice smelling hug.
You all hug for a long time. And it's not really clear who breaks the hug or whether you all break it at once or what. It just kind of happens after a very long time. And you look up and you realize that you're no longer in the place you were. You're on campus, but no longer in sort of a nightmarish liminal campus. You're just kind of in the quad. And you're back where you started. It's looks like it's gotten cleaned up a fair amount since last night's festivities. There's no longer, you know, old cups and things floating around. But there's not many people around, and it looks as though the grounds crew has sort of dispersed. The sun is starting to set, and the day is coming to a close. It's an off day for the guild, and everything's pretty quiet.
Is anyone staring at the group of sobbing, hugging former heroes in the middle of the grass?
Who just materialized out of just nowhere.
Teleported there?
Mostly covered in blood, many very, very injured.
Well, you hear coming in the distance, sort of this, like, running coming towards you, and you hear, guys, wait, don't break the hug. I want to get in the hug. And you see Cabriel kind of running towards you.
Yeah, get in here.
Oh, you're so grown up now.
You're so big. Karen would be so proud you've grown up to be so hot.
I'm so intimidated by you.
That's weird. I don't know if my sister ever really cared about how hot I would get, but thank you.
Oh, her genes live on and like your... And I just, like, pat his face.
I don't know if I could fit into her jeans, because I'm kind of bigger than she is, but
oh, God,
I could try.
Me.
He says, hey, it was really, really nice to catch up with you guys.
Yeah.
Should we? If y'all don't mind a bunch of broken windows, we can go and make dinner and rest.
Maybe
and...
a game of chess?
Group chess.
Betting on it.
We can do that.
Beating you 3-2 right now, Kit, as it stands. So
fine, we'll do it, and I'll play with the black pieces.
Okay, no. I'm the black pieces.
Gauntlet's been thrown, everyone. All right, we're going.
Cabriel, do you want to come with us to Nariah's brother's beaten up house and get very drunk and cry a lot? And you can roast marshmallows in Addy.
You had me at cry a lot. We ride.
Yeah, I just kind of like, I've been holding Windswip, so I think I just like continue holding Windswip and I just lead the way towards Tuffins for chess and wildfire spirit marshmallows and the rest of Tuffins liquor cabinet.
What remains?
I sense we're kind of winding down, and this is kind of like a nice fade out moment. Is there anything else anybody wanted to like get in before we're?
Oh, so much. We could just do this.
Yeah,
right. So but much. I don't want it to go on five ever.
Yeah, I think I'll be a little selfish here.
Everybody, be selfish right now.
I think halfway to the house.
You mean on memory lane? Somewhere.
Somewhere on memory lane.
As we head down to 69 memory lane.
Yeah. As, you know, as when you're walking in a group and, like, you know, positions sort of shift around, I think Winsup will try to fall back for a moment with Kit and you know, in this weird, vulnerable, confessional kind of state that they're all in. Just be like, hey, so it was a bit, humbling to see what it looks like when a person holds on to their, romantic feelings for someone for such a long time without any resolution. And I just want to say that I'm really sorry I made you uncomfortable all those years ago, and that I'm really happy that you found the right person.
Wait,
for you.
Wait, stop. Stop.
What?
Stop.
Sorry?
It's... I wasn't ready then. And... I'm sorry that that was so hard for you, and that I couldn't just tell you then, how... that I couldn't get into how complicated it felt, and I just sort of ghosted, you know? And...
Yeah.
Things change. There's always time for new beginnings, and... This is not... Why don't you... Look, you're super cool, and I have always admired you.
Oh.
And seeing you out there was absolutely amazing.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. And I... Honestly, that's... That's honestly how I feel, and that's all I can say right now.
Oh. Thank you. Wow. Okay. Thanks for saying that. Well, we could write more letters to each other, or just, I don't know, hang out a little bit more. I mean, do you have to get back? Well, how quickly do you have to get back to your, I mean, you're kind of running a monastery, right? Like,
I do,
pretty important.
I do have to get back and run some things, but. But lots of cool rocks on the island. If you're, you know, if you ever want to come by again.
I'm dying to see the volcano. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
That sounds so cool.
Look, it's going to be kind of hard and kind of weird if you want to come and we want to try to make something work.
Okay. Well, maybe we just start with the rocks then.
Just the rocks. That sounds good.
She squeezes his hand a little bit and then just kind of like blushes deeply and then runs to catch up with the rest of the group.
Cute. Yeah. Is there anything else anybody wants to do?
I would like to, like, later, unless anyone has anything that needs to happen on this walk, later when the chess game is, I don't know, you'll figure it out. Who won? Teffin's liquor cabinet is emptied. We're hanging out. Just kind of look around this group of people. I know half of you have, like, real person jobs. Pointed look at Kit. I know some of you are busy being motivational speakers, Esther. What is that? I still have questions. And I know that we've learned a lot about... No, holding on to things and stuff, but I feel like we're still good at this, and also I'm deeply unemployed, so if anyone wanted to head over, you know, when the guild reopens and just see what's up, I would not say no. Just throwing it out there, I think we're still... Might be drunk, I'm not sure. If anyone felt like, you know, doing anything, that'd be nice, but not in, like, a pathetic, I still want to be a teenager kind of way. I just... You know, there's gold in this, and, like, fun shit... I turn to Aveline, like, is this weird?
There's so much more gold in adventuring than glassblowing, Naraya. I would love to go.
Yeah, I'm
set
shit
some bandits
at selling
on
jewelry
fire with you. Yeah, Windswift, I didn't really want to say anything, but I think when you... I was trying to get teenagers to, like, stop sticking marshmallows in my wildfire spirit, and you were just kind of... There was that lady who looked like she was going to spend a lot of money, and then she, like, recognized you, and it got really awkward, and she left. And I think maybe we're not good at having normal jobs.
I Yeah, I mean, I also, like, the jewelry thing was more of, like, a hobby and a coping mechanism. Like, I felt good about doing something with my
hands. It really sucks when they make you monetize your hobbies, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's nice to do something that's just for you.
And plus, like, you saw, I'm much better at breaking things than making things.
So, like, maybe, I don't know who's in charge now. I don't know if there's anyone who can give us jobs. Maybe something to consider when we sleep at all.
Yeah, because Kyrelius is dead, and then Paula was taking over from Kyrelius, but now Paula disappeared maybe to another plane, and I don't know.
Kid, do you want to run an adventuring guild? That's kind of like a monastery.
No, so I make a chess move, and I look at Dariah, and then I look at Esther, and I'm like, yeah, I mean, that's a possibility, but, you know, we would need some capital to get started. And I look at, I take a look at Esther. You're in charge of the business, right?
You know, Kit, I have just the family to fuck over.